We're reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
There's a lot of really beautiful imagery in this passage. Mm-hmm. Laying it on his shoulders, rejoicing, joy. Calling together friends. I have hanging here a batik that I got in India of Jesus with the sheep, carrying that one lost sheep. How many of you have ever been lost? Physically, geographically?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Emotionally.
Mentally, spiritually. They're all difficult, challenging in different ways. These feelings of being lost. Have you ever been lost in a foreign country where you didn't speak the language and your phone has died? And how do you get where you're going? I think we all have amazing stories that we are glad that are in the past about being lost. And so this passage is so easy to speak to us because we know that. We know that deep inside ourselves what it feels like to be lost. And the flip side, being found. Recognizing once again where one is, where the solid ground lies. Running into those open arms, there's the person who can protect and care for you. That feeling of relief, the ability to rest. The older we get, the less we feel like that is there for us sometimes. Right? And there's a longing for childhood, when it was so clear who could hold you like that, who you could trust, no matter what was going on in the world, where you could go. In this story, the parables that Jesus tells, I think it's easy to identify with the sheep, with the coins, being lost and being found again. But notice in these examples, these are passive agents, right? A coin can't get up and walk. A coin doesn't even know that it's lost, right? It is entirely found and returned to its proper place by the woman, by our God. And what does that say about the nature of repentance? Because Jesus tells this story, or these parables, because of the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes, right? He is eating with tax collectors and sinners. That might not seem so shocking to us, but I was just telling Kaya earlier today about distinctions of clean and unclean. And those are really easy to caricature, but there is currently a cockroach infestation in my kitchen. And let me tell you, we put out boric acid, and then I learned that boric acid can like cause birth defects in babies, and like this is like unclean, toxic zone. And I have a much deeper respect for clean and unclean, and the cockroach territory is unclean. And you know what? That's probably what the Pharisees and scribes felt like too. What is Jesus doing eating with these people whose sins will flow out from them into him, who might corrupt him, whether it's a physical notion of sin spreading or more of a spiritual notion? They are concerned. They are concerned. Jesus is violating the traditional standards of clean and unclean. And when that is how your world is ordered and structured, it's a hard thing to cross. It's a hard barrier to transcend. But Jesus tells these parables to indicate God's perspective in all of this and God's desire to find that which is lost. Even when that which is lost does not realize that it is lost, like so often is the case for us. And so I've been thinking a lot about repentance and all the work that goes into the formation of a person before you ever get to repentance. What has God done in searching and seeking you out? The people God has planted around you, the relationships, the conversations, the symbols, the signs, all these little things slowly leading you to a place of repentance, to a place of transformation, a place where you recognize that you were lost and now have been found once again. Now, repentance is not so much something that I decide I am going to repent now, but it's something that is this long journey that God has been walking with us all along. And it's only at the very last moment that we finally realize what's going on, how God has been leading us this whole time. In this passage, I think the people who are most truly lost are those who do not see the possibility of repentance for others. Those whose identity is so tied up in their judgment of others that they cannot see that they themselves are lost and need to be found. God has come for each and every one of us to carry us like this little lost sheep, lost when we didn't even know we were lost, acting in our lives long before we could see her actions. Tonight, I want us to reflect on those experiences of being lost and being found, on awakening to God's presence, forgiveness, mercy already active in our lives, to awakening to a life of turning, to a life of repentance, to a life in God's arms.